Always Evolving is brought to you by Cast Centers, which is a company and organization very close to me. I founded Cast Centers over 17 years ago. We provide the best evidence-based practices for therapy, mental health, addiction. Anytime you're struggling or you have a loved one who is struggling, make sure you go to our website at www.castcenters.com. C-A-S-T centers.com. Give us a call. We're here to help. We'll help you with a free assessment and let's get your mental health on track. I'm back in Los Angeles and I have a voice. If you just are joining this podcast, you won't know who Tony Durex is. But if you've been listening for a while, you know exactly who Tony Durex is. His real name is Tony. Can I say your last name?
Durex.
Okay, Durex. It's probably better so no one knows how to track you down. But I mentioned last week with the podcast with Mike Coach Quads that I was heading to a jiu-jitsu tournament. And Tony came out to film me. And let me tell you, I did not expect what happened to me emotionally.
You didn't expect it?
Hell no. And let me explain. We all travel out there. My professor Caesar joins us as well. And it was a good trip. We were comfortable. We all traveled together. We landed. We went to Cheesecake Factory straight from the airport. I was, of course, watching what I ate a little bit. And I started getting this anxiety. Anxiety that, and I don't even know what the, usually anxiety comes from some form of fear, but I just felt anxious. And then I went to dinner with my dad and my stepmom, and he's asking me questions about the tournament, and my anxiety is starting to grow. I think, no biggie, you know, we're human, we're on a roller coaster. We go to bed that night, we're all in different hotel rooms, get a great night's sleep. And we go to see Caesar compete.
Early in the morning.
What did you think when we were heading out there?
As of like going out there to the trip?
Yeah, the jiu-jitsu tournament.
What was going through my head was, you're going to kill it. Like, you had your first tournament here in Orange County.
Orange County, yeah.
You killed it. Or you demolished it.
I did all right.
You did great.
I won.
I won. You won. You got first place.
Yes.
Coming into this one, I was, I was excited. Because I feel like you've been really training hard.
I have been. And I threw out my back a week before.
You did.
I threw the whole kitchen sink at trying to get well. But then what happened is we went to Caesar's match. Caesar, in his first match, his knee went out of his socket. And went out of place. He won the match, but then he was a bit hobbled.
Yeah, he was. There was like a slight limp.
And there was a slight change in his energy too.
Yeah.
The hunger of competition changed a little bit.
Yeah.
And we were there for a few hours. And how would you describe the energy in a jiu-jitsu tournament?
There was a lot of testosterone.
A lot.
It was like war in there. Like, no one was there for fun. Like, everyone was there to win. Like, everyone was, well, as far as the competitors,
right?
Even the people who were cheering on the competitors, they were like hoping for the person they were cheering for to, let's say, break the other person down. But
right,
like, yeah, they wanted them to break the other person down. So it was hostile.
It was there's such testosterone and energy, and I'm even getting anxious just thinking about it. And then I think we went to lunch somewhere.
We went to go eat.
We ate at some fresh restaurant for greens and what have you. We got to the hotel. I'm getting ready. Tony is encouraging me because Tony wants to take images of me by a swimming pool, which is slightly embarrassing. But Tony's like, show them the body.
Yeah.
Mike, you need more photos of you shirtless. And I'm thinking, gosh, I'm so corny doing this. And there's some other jiu-jitsu guys around the pool, just one or two. And Tony's doing a full-on photo shoot with me, and he's wearing his Lakers jersey shorts, and he's having to hike them up so that they don't get wet. But it was so hot that you couldn't step on the ground for more than maybe 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah, it was hot.
I thought that going into the swimming pool was going to quell my anxiety. Mm. But all of a sudden, I felt so emotional.
Yeah, when we got back to the hotel.
So emotional. And this is before I even competed.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest experience where my entire year flashed before me. And all of a sudden, I'm crying. There's tears coming down my face. I'm in pain because I've had a bit of a hard year around certain areas of my life. But it's not making sense to me. Because I'm about to go fight, why am I so fragile? You know, why are my emotions getting the best of me? I normally can self-regulate myself a lot, but I was so fucking uncomfortable. I was so uncomfortable, I started questioning, why am I doing this? What is the point? What's the purpose? You know, if I go help someone, I think, okay, the purpose of helping someone is they get well. I'm going to compete really with myself and go against another guy my size, my skill level, who is trying to submit me or to kind of break my will, so to speak. And I just kept having tears coming out of my eyes. It was the weirdest experience. And you said, all right, let's leave Mike alone for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think, well, we were talking for a while.
Yeah.
When you got emotional, which definitely caught me off guard because I was like, oh, like I honestly didn't expect you to get so emotional.
I didn't either.
It just started pouring out.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I said was like, it's normal to feel like this. It's normal to get emotional. Maybe it's just built in and it needs to just be released. But my automatic was, if I got emotional in front of you guys, like, I would definitely love for you guys to, like, talk to me and make sure I got through it. But then I would just need a moment.
To pull it
to myself. Yeah, like, I would just need a moment to be like, all right, cool. Like, let me meet you guys downstairs and let me just collect my thoughts. And that's why I was like, let's just leave them alone for, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I got some composure. It was strange. I felt so emotionally dysregulated. And I was grasping, trying to control myself. And so then I'm looking in the mirror. I'm talking to myself. That's not working. I do some breathing. That helps a little bit. We're heading out. My head professor, Cobrina from Los Angeles at Alliance, at his gym, I said, hey, if you have any tips, I texted to him. He immediately called me on FaceTime, said, you need to find a quiet space in where the tournament is happening and do 30 breaths, you know, and then hold your breath, you know, whole breathing sequence. Then after that, he wanted me to meditate for 3 to 4 minutes. And so I did that. I was still emotionally a roller coaster. Now, I didn't realize till later that that is common, that most people who have entered jiu-jitsu tournaments, who have ever fought, initially have so much adrenaline, anxiety, fear, panic, confusion, and that your personal issues or any issues kind of get magnified. But it was so extreme. And I decided that I suddenly needed to pull myself together. And so I put on Tarzan Boy by Biltmore. Biltmore, I think, is the band. Mm-hmm. It goes, and that kind of is a goofy song for me, like kind of goofy fun. Mm-hmm. So I put that on, I started to feel better, and then all of a sudden they call your name and you're just head to head with whoever you're competing against.
Yeah.
And the guy, when we hit kind of hands and punched, mm-hmm. I felt his strength. I followed what we were supposed to do. The fight was 5 minutes long. I ended up winning by points, you know, 2-0. But I gave everything I had. I squeezed my sponge so much that I literally thought, I have nothing else to give. My heart was racing like crazy. And the guy then says to me, if I beat the next guy, we'll fight again. I look forward to fighting you, or something along that line. And I was like, how the hell am I going to fight this guy again if he ends up being the other guy? So I talked to Caesar, my coach. I went off to the side. I had to start doing breathing exercises again. I still felt emotional. And I also didn't know how I was going to get through another match. I'm about to enter my second match. The guy who I competed against the first time destroyed the other guy. Got him in an arm bar. So the guy tapped because his arm would have been, or shoulder dislocated. And me and the other guy are going to fight again. And I remember saying to Caesar, I don't know how I'm going to do another match. I just feel so beaten down. Here I literally thought I was going through some nervous breakdown. And it wasn't even about winning. That was the weird thing. I had no connection to my thoughts and feelings and body. It was as if my body was creating feelings, which was creating thoughts. And normally I've always subscribed to our thoughts create the feelings, and then, you know, but I just felt out of control. I went back in there. I ended up winning. And I ended up, he tapped out with my cross collar choke. You know, he was grabbing my face a little bit, doing some stuff you're not supposed to be doing in jiu-jitsu. And I let out kind of a shrill after I won and hit the mat. Then I did a little bit of a dance, which you're not supposed to do, which I found out afterwards. It just kind of came out of me, this little dance move. But what I realized is I have been too comfortable in life. And as we get older, it becomes harder and harder to push ourselves to get out of our comfort zone.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
And I'm not talking about going to the gym and doing some cross-training class where I'm pushing myself. I'm talking about where I face my fear. Where I face my anxiety, not just push myself. And I realized how important it is to grow and evolve by getting fucking uncomfortable. I was so uncomfortable. I didn't want to be there. When I was competing, I actually didn't want to be there.
Really?
But I said to myself, I'm going to keep my commitment and I am going to work through feeling uncomfortable. Because if I experience this type of emotion again in my life, I want to be able to handle it. I can't run away from it. I can't go have someone else fix it. This is my own challenge. This is my own struggle. And even after the match, I was emotional. I talked to Ronnie, you know, one of my best friends the next day, and I was telling the story. I was still emotional and crying. I talked to my therapist yesterday about my whole experience, and I was still crying. And it wasn't crying because I was in pain. It was me literally facing parts of myself that I have never faced in my life. And the lesson I learned, the following day I went to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Mm. And it was pretty full room, super hot, Sunday morning. My friend was getting a three-year sober cake, so I was there giving him a birthday cake to celebrate. Someone said, hey, here's an open seat. I sat down, and I realized I was sandwiched between two other guys, and I was a little bit sweaty. Off to the corner, there was another chair that I could have sat in. Mm-hmm. I could have sat in that chair, and I would have been a lot more comfortable. However, that chair was not right in front. That chair would have allowed me to be on my telephone, check text messages. The chair I was currently in, it would be rude for me to be on my phone. And I said to myself, the old Mike would have moved to the more comfortable chair, would have kind of not, you know, really stayed in his spot. I was sweating. And I said to myself, Mike, learn how to get uncomfortable. This isn't uncomfortable. You're capable of sitting here and enjoying this moment. You're sweating. Who cares if you're sweating? Why do I care that I'm sweating? What's the big deal? Oh, it's a little hot. Drink some water, Mike. Mm. And I think that is a lesson that I learned from doing this jiu-jitsu tournament, is that level of discomfort was nothing compared to doing the jiu-jitsu tournament. And by facing that fear in the tournament, I now am applying it to my life and pushing myself to do things that are uncomfortable. Pushing myself to be better. Not because I'm trying to get anyone else to love me more or receive me more. I'm doing it for myself. Because, like I said, it is hard to force ourselves to get uncomfortable. But when we get uncomfortable is when the biggest growth happens. It's when we evolve the most. And this year, I've been so uncomfortable in so many different areas of my life, and I've survived. And the good thing is, feelings don't kill us.
Damn.
Right?
Say that one more time.
Feelings don't kill us.
You're right.
Our thoughts can.
Yeah. But feelings. Our
feelings don't. They're just feelings. And we think that they're never going to end. I was in such turmoil, and I'm sure at some point I realized, talking to a bunch of jiu-jitsu competitors who are way more high level than me, they said, Mike, that feeling I've experienced so many times.
Yeah.
That feeling, that panic, you don't know what's going on with your fear, you're so sensitive, you're out of balance. And I now think a friend of mine was calling me a Renaissance man, you know, that I do a bunch of different things in my life. But I just think it's such a gift that I did not ever think. More important than winning first was the ability to face being uncomfortable. So much more important to me than ever winning a medal is having that ability now to go, I'm really uncomfortable right now, but this discomfort of feelings is okay. I'm safe.
Yeah.
I don't need to be in fight or flight.
So how do you feel now looking back at the tournament? Like, do you see now like, okay, cool. Like it's, you're ready for the next one, or are you, and still have a bit of like,
I still feel a bit emotionally unbalanced. I think I would want to do another jiu-jitsu tournament if I'm not operating from ego. And if I enter another jiu-jitsu tournament, the opportunity for me is not because I want to win gold. Of course, that's amazing. Yeah. Before it would have been, I want to get first. What I want to do is face my discomfort.
Yeah.
I want to face myself, and I want to figure out a way to get comfortable and to have fun even when I'm uncomfortable. And I think that if I'm able to accomplish that, life is going to be so much more interesting. It's going to be creating a lot more opportunities. And that for me is more important than any medal.
Yeah.
And that's the life lesson. And because you were there and Caesar were there, and I felt like I had this commitment to compete, but I'm grateful for that I went through it.
Yeah.
And I've come to realize how little I've allowed myself to get uncomfortable. The risks I take are comfortable risks.
Yeah.
risks in a lot of ways aren't real risks to me now, unless I'm sure you could have a financial risk.
Yeah.
But this idea of trying to conquer discomfort and uncomfortable feelings and uncomfortable pain, I was in pain.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to have surgery a few years ago because, you know, herniated discs. And it's funny, I emailed Dr. Phil afterwards, and I'll sometimes, you know, we'll trade emails, and I showed him that I won the tournament, and I said, but most important to me was that I learned how to face being uncomfortable. Mm. And he said, yeah, he said, wow, it's bad. He said a bunch of things, and then he goes, yeah, it's much easier to sit on a beanbag and eat Cheetos. I laughed out loud, because he's right.
Yeah.
It's easier most to do that.
Would, yeah, of course. Anyone... You give a person two options. Hey, chill out, watch a movie, eat some hot Cheetos, or just eat some Cheetos, or go and enter in a jiu-jitsu tournament, and or just go get uncomfortable, something that's challenging. Because I even told you, I'm like, when I watched you do that, I'm like, I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't even imagine facing some of the guys that I saw the tournament, like knowing that I'm going to go up against them, and we're going to like... fight.
Go to war.
Yeah, we're practically going to war, and these people are capable to do some damage.
Sure.
Break my arm, break my leg. They can do all kinds of stuff. So I would low-key be scared. I mean, that's just me. Like, I would just, that's crazy. But well,
but yeah, like my professor emailed, but to your point, the way I look at it now is not, being physically injured is not even the worry. The worry is being able to deal with my fear and anxiety.
You were more afraid of your fear and anxiety than you were breaking an arm.
Correct. Wow. 1,000%. 1,000%.
That's crazy.
I was more afraid that I would sabotage myself, or that I would back out, or that I would shut down,
yeah,
or that I would get emotional while I was fighting. Because with those emotions, with jiu-jitsu, you have to be laser focused. You make a wrong move, you're in a bad position. Mm-hmm. And you run out of breath really quickly if you're not breathing properly. And so I was more worried that my instincts would take over, which would be fight or flight,
yeah,
instead of myself taking over, which is being in the moment, realizing this isn't fight or flight.
Yeah,
it's not. You know, same thing happened, you know, when I've gone through a breakup, is the emotion becomes really intense. Heartbreak is painful. It's severe. We have to face it.
Yeah.
We have to face discomfort. And there's no way around it except trying to numb it out.
Mm-hmm.
And
in the right ways.
Yeah. But, yeah, but what I'm saying is like numbing it out. You still, I almost believe life is going to keep forcing you to face that thing that you've been avoiding over and over and over again, mm-hmm, until you die. And you can either face it, get uncomfortable, believe in yourself, believe you can figure it out, or you can try to numb out, avoid it, and it only gets worse.
And live with it.
Well, life forces you, yeah, to work through your shit. And I'm just grateful that I survived it. Because, yeah, and so much respect for people who do this professionally, because the stakes are way higher for them. But at the same time, I know the feeling, at least with fighting, if you're fighting professionally, you know your purpose. The reason I'm doing this is because it's my career. For me, I was like, what is my purpose in doing this? And I realized afterwards what the purpose was. So in terms of doing another tournament, I'm not sure. I'm supposed to compete in Worlds. My name is signed up for it. I'm training as if I'm going to do it. But I really just want to check in with myself and see what is the best opportunity for growth, the opportunity to learn. And not do it because I need to get first.
Yeah.
And the last two competitions, I was really focused on getting first.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I think that I enjoyed less the experience. And I want to have fun. You know, everyone's like, have fun. I wasn't having fun.
Because, I mean, I feel like it's hard to have fun when you're going up against someone who's trying to take you down.
But imagine if you're so uncomfortable, but you can still have fun.
Yeah.
You know, I'm too, I got champagne problems in my life. I'm entitled. I'm complaining about things that I shouldn't be complaining about, in my opinion. And I want to figure out a way to be more present, more focused, and just more at peace with what is. So that was my, why, and I'm glad you hopped on this podcast with me, because I just wanted to talk about it a little bit. So if someone's listening, maybe they can start to face that area that they're uncomfortable, that thing they're terrified about. Mm. You know, if you're terrified of something that's not going to hurt you,
yeah,
you should probably face it.
So do you recommend people to do jujitsu?
1,000%.
You do?
I think the best thing someone can do is jujitsu. You don't have to compete. Mm. You don't have to go to classes where guys are trying to submit you or tap you out. You can go for self-defense. You can go for learning how to get more flexible, breathing. And the great thing about jujitsu is you're in the moment. Very few things in life are you ever actually in the moment. Mm. Very few moments in life are you pushing yourself to be at your best, to focus on your breathing. You know, it's a lifestyle that I've become addicted to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then my other question is, for anyone who feels anxiety the way you felt it, or who feels emotions just built up, like, what else would you recommend for them to do outside of, you know, what you did, which is breathing and whatnot? Like, what would you recommend to someone who their emotions just get a hold of them and they start breaking down and they start crying? What would you recommend?
Well, I think we all struggle from time to time with emotional dysregulation in different events. We all are built differently. Certain events affect us all differently. Mm. But I think it's being around people you trust and you feel safe with, asking for what you need. Obviously, exercising is very helpful for anxiety or emotional dysregulation. Talking to a therapist, going to a psychiatrist, talking to a doctor, talking to people that are safe. If your parents are triggering, don't talk to your parents. Mm. It just makes it worse. It's going to bring up your childhood issues. So, you know, there's sometimes to realize it's okay to feel emotional.
Yeah.
It's okay to be on an emotional roller coaster sometimes.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And sometimes that's our way of working out the problem and getting to the other side. All right. So, Tony, thank you for... and also one more thing that I did is it's pretty funny. So, you know, I spent all that time doing that animation about a cloud and mm-hmm. I posted on my social media. And at first I thought to myself, oh, I hope this performs well. I put so much time and energy into it. I put on my Facebook and my Instagram, and it looks as if it's something really easy to do. But to write a story, choose characters, work with an animator, come out with it, it's difficult. And what I realized, there was a part of me that was hoping that, oh, I hope this performs well. And the reality is, since doing this jiu-jitsu tournament, I don't give a shit if it performs well. Mm. I like what I did. And again, somehow this has come from me facing myself, my ego, what's important. And so I'm going to put out another video. This time it's going to be in Portuguese and me, you know, trying to do it in Portuguese. And I don't care if it performs. And that's such a relief today to not care if people are going to like me or not.
Yeah.
Or resonate with what I put out. It's be ourselves. Wrote a book called Be Your Best Self, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I appreciate you going with me. And as I told you, you're just really helpful, really encouraging, really professional. I love you. We've remained friends even after this podcast and you working with me. So until next time, we'll keep it magical.